Okay, we start here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel and Bet. Hacharum Pusul. Izu Charum. What is that case of Charum? A Kuchel Shte Enav Kachat. One who can put on eye shadow between the two eyes in one shot. Meaning that the nose, the bridge of the nose, does not reach up to the top of the eyes, which normally blocks the ability to do that. Over here, that doesn't exist. Shte Enav Lamalo, both eyes above. Shte Enav Lamata, both eyes below. Eno Achat Lamalo, Veno Achat Lamata, one above, one below. Roet Acheder Vet Aliyake Achad. He can see both upstairs and downstairs in one shot. We'll explain all of these. We'll come back to them. Sache Shemesh, someone who covers his eyes because of the brightness of the sun. Ve'hazagdan, ve'atziran, v'shenishru risei einav. Pasul mipnei marat ayin. Those are pasul because of marat ayin. Over there, zagdan and ziran we'll get to in the Gemara. The marat ayin we saw before in the Gemara only applies to the risei einav. Risei einav is a question about what it refers to, whether it refers to the, Rashi says, the eyelashes, or to the eyelids or the eyebrows. We'll go with Rashi's pshat that it's referring to the actual eyelashes themselves. Mary continues. Tan Rabbanan, Charum Shechotmo Shakua. So Charum, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, is where the nose, the bridge of the nose, is depressed. Chotmo Soleid, Chotmo Boleim, Chotmo Notef. These are three other issues that you can have with the nose. Soleid is that it's very short. Boleim is like from the modern Hebrew today, Blamim, breaks, in that they're plugged, the nostrils are plugged up. Chotmo Notef, or his nose is so long that it drops below the upper lip. Minayin. How do I know those are also problematic? Tamlomar o charum. So you have a riboy from the word o. Rav Yossi mar in charum ela kuchel shtei enav keachat. Yossi, like our Mishnah says, that charum is only called something that can color his eyes together. I mean, the bridge of the nose is so depressed that it can go across. Amrlo l'chumim said, deflakta. You exaggerated. Afa pishinu kuchel shtei enav keachat. It doesn't have to be that extreme. In order to be classified as a charum, it can even be when it's something less extreme that it can do it all in one shot, but it means that the bridge of the nose is so depressed that it looks like there's nothing blocking between the two eyes. The Mishnah said, shtein av lamala, shtein av limato. Ma shtein av lamala, shtein av limato. What does it mean? But two eyes are above, two eyes are below. Ilem shtein av lamala, dechazi lamala. His two eyes above mean that both his eyes look upward. Shtein av lamata, dechazi lamata. Both of his eyes look downward. Eino achat damala veino achat damata means chazi. Eino achat damata veino achat damala. Then one eye looks up and one eye looks down. Then, hainu ro'et achedev et aliyah, ke'achat. Then that is synonymous or cannot be differentiated from the last of the things listed in the Mishnah, which is where he sees the room and the roof, or the room and the attic, in one shot. Ela shteinav lamalo. What does it mean, two eyes above? De kaimen lamalo. They're actually situated on the head higher than normal. They're up in the forehead. They're higher than the normal placement on the face. Shtein av lamata, two eyes below, means it's a lower location than normal. Dekaim in lamata. Eino achat damala veino achat damata. Dekaim eino achat damala veino achat damata. One eye is above, one eye is below. So this is talking about physical location. Now the last of the mumim is vekaimu kisidran. Nami. Even if they're in their normal placement on the face, and he has one eye that sees above and one eye that sees below, ka'achat, is problematic. How do I know this? The Tan Rabbanan be'eino, that the word eino, which is extraneous in the pasuk, because it didn't have to tell us about eino, because we know that the mumim that are mentioned in the pasuk, dak v'tavlu, are mumim of the ayin. So the fact that the Torah mentions the word be'eino is unnecessary. So kol mashu be'eino, anything in his eyes that's problematic, that's a mum. Kanamru. Remember they said, shtein av lamata, shtein av lamalo, like our Mishnah. The placement above, the placement below. Eino achat lamala, veino achat lamata, one above, one below. Voret acheder et aliyah, or they're in place, but one looks up, one looks down. Kachat, o, shimdaber im chaviro, vacher omer, li roe. In the other case where he's talking to his friend, and he says that the other eye, another friend says he's looking at him. Or like a cross eye, where one eye looks at this, and the other eye looks at another person. That's a problem here. These are all mumim according to the Torah, because these are things in the eyes that you wouldn't have expected or that shouldn't be. It's a mum over. But if it can be cured, then it's a mum over. As long as it's there in an adam, it's considered problematic. If you correct it, then it's not problematic anymore. Then it's not a mum anymore. Teravanan, iver. So now they're quoting the pasuk that has all the mumim in it. So it says, Iver, ben suma b'shteinav, whether he's blind in both eyes, ben suma b'achat meinav, whether he is blinded in one eye, chavarvar v'amayim akvuim, which we've seen before, we saw that by behemot, we saw it by adam, inayin. How do I know that's also problematic? Tamlomar ish iver. So the riboy of ish tells me that not only is if he's completely blind or missing his eyes, shteinav obsuma v'yachad v'enav, but even these mumim of chavarvar v'amayim akvuim that impair his eyesight, they're also problematic. Amarava lamali dichtiv rachmana ish iver dak tavlu be'eno. Why did the Torah list all of these items? So now that he's going to go tzrichi, I need all of these. Dika dav rachmana iver, had it just written iver mishum deletnehu klal, because they don't exist at all. I mean, I don't know if this means that the eyeball is not there or he has no vision whatsoever. Aval chavavar v'amayim akvuim deitnehu be'lo, but that we're there where he has. Either whether the eyeballs are there or his eyesight is somewhat there, it's almost completely wiped out. So therefore, I thought ish is also problematic. Over there, he can't see at all. Lo. If he had some sort of dimming of the eyesight, then that wouldn't be problematic. The cataract. Over there, it dims his eyesight, it ruins his eyesight. If it causes some sort of, call it haziness, blurriness in his eyesight, but not that it dims his eyesight, maybe that would not be problematic, because that's the tavlul where it mixes up. There's the white and black get mixed up in the eye. Because they're mixed up or blurry. But if they were different, something was out of the ordinary, maybe not. Which is what we just learned from the word eino, is that anything that is extraordinary by the eyes is considered a mum. So therefore, we have now, through the pasuk, we've gone through all these different mumim. Amarava hilkach. Komach mat kiyuta. Anything that is because of a loss of eyesight. Achem ish. We learned that out of the word ish. Me'achsuraito. Anything is that is because of dimming of the eyesight. That is from the word midak. Mibalbalita, mitavlul. Anything that's blurry or is mixed up in the eye, that's from tavlul. Mashniyuta, anything that is different, mibe'eno. So basically he's saying that these aren't the exact names, but these are categories. Torah has established for us different categories. What's problematic when it comes to eyesight? So that'll be the list that he just put out. I mean, based on the limudim that he just had, therefore we'll have kiyuta, lack of vision. That'll come from ish, machosuraita, which means that there is a dimming of the eyesight, but he still has some vision, is midak. And mibalbalita is where it's blurry or mixed up in the eye, that's tavlu, mashniyuta, something different, is mibeinu. Okay, sachei shemesh. This is someone who covers his eyes from the sun. Tani Rav Yosef, sanei shemesh. Sachei shemesh means someone who hates the sun, because the sun causes him to blink away or to move away because it bothers his eyes. Zagdian. What is this? Zagdian that our Mishnah mentioned. Vazagdan. What is that? Machavi Ravuna. Ravuna pointed and said, Chad Medidan, one eye like ours. Vechad Medidu, and one like him. And who is sitting in front of him? Rav Yehuda. Vekvid Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was a little upset about that. He used him as an example of something that was a mum. Wasn't so politically correct what he did. He was a little upset about it.
Doesn't tell us what it was.
No. No, it seems to be anything that's different. Two eyes that are different. We'll see. Meitave. Shachvana shegvinav shochvim. From the word shachav, to sleep or to lay over, means shegvinav. His eyebrows, shochvim, come down very low. His eyebrows are so long that they sit on his eyes, impairing his eyesight because they're hanging over so long. Zagdum is echad shachor vechad lavan. One black and one white. Now here the shita ends with gvinav, so this is eyebrows, echad shachor vechad lavan, one white and one black. So that's the question that you're asking. It doesn't tell us what this zagdum was. That sounds like here, it means one like us, one like them, it means sounds has to be different. Over here it says it means one black and one white. So that wouldn't be about shape, which it seems to be Rav Huna was pointing out the difference in shape of the eye. The one shape like our eye, one shape like Rav Yehuda's eye. But now it's saying that it's got to do with the color, one black, one white. Satana, kozuga, duloshavi, la'adadi, zagdum, karile. So here, whether it just refers to eyebrows or to the eyes as well, but it seems something that's a pair that should look the same, they look different, they're problematic. That's called zagdum. So that's the answer to your question is, it doesn't have to be something in particular, it has to be any difference between the two. The question was that he says shachor levan versus what he pointed out. Rav Huna seemed to point out between him and Rav Yehuda, didn't seem to be about black and white, seemed to be about some sort of shaping or some sort of difference in the way they looked, in their appearance. The Gemara says, in the end, that's it. It's just a general term for anything that's different. The question of how broad that term is. Does it refer just to eyebrows or any two limbs that's supposed to be the same? Hatziran, the Gemara is going to give a list, and there's bright of problematic things. Just Hatziran, I mean, Siran, colon, Enab Trutot, Itziran Yot, Domot, Dolfot, and Tordot. These are all problematic things with the eyes. So, Enav Trutot, which is Agulot, means that they're circular in nature. Tziraniyot, or as Rashi says, Agulot Yotermi Trutot, they're even more round than Trutot. Or there are others that translate Tziraniyot as being
discharging a briny liquid.
Domot means that they are tearing somewhat. Dolfot means that they are tearing a lot. Tordot is from the word tarud. So Rashi says, Yotermi dolafot. It's even tearing even more. The Aruch, over here you can see in the Surah Tashaz, he brings down the Aruch, who says that it means that it's Eni Cholat Sumeinav, Elevit Torah. He's unable to close his eyes, or either close or open his eyes, except with great difficulty. That's what the word tarud means. So now, the Gemara Zitana, Hazadir, Valupim, Ve'atamir. These are the items that are mentioned, another sulim in the eyes. The Braita goes back and explains them. Zavir. So now you see, go back to the Girsa by Zadir. It seems like that should be the Girsa of Zavir, because now the Gemara is going to define it by Zavir. So Zavir, Dimazurene, that his eyes move around. Lufin is the Nefishin Zife, that his eyelashes are a lot, or many. Again, now, there's other questions of whether it's referring to the eyelashes or the eyebrows. I'm going to go with Rashi's interpretation that it's referring to the eyelashes. Tamir, shetamu zipin, that his eyelashes are not there, they're gone. Bahane gabe mumim, tanidahu. Is this really about, are these really classified as mumim? But not. We have our Mishnah, shenishru b'si'einav, that if his eyelashes are gone, pasul, mipnei maratayin. That's only a problem of maratayin, that's not a problem of mum or psul. Over here, you're listing a braita that causes them mumim. So if that's a mum, and our Mishnah calls it a marat ayin, how do you reconcile? Lokasha hadi shtui or gardume? Hadi lo ishtar gardume? Depending if there's a little piece left, gardumim we saw before in achot with tzitzit. Gardumim means that there's a smaller root, a base that's left over. So if nishru is saying av, and there's still a base there, there's still a small amount of the follicle that's left there, that's only marat ayin. If it's gone, the gamre, it's totally pulled down, removed, that's considered to be a mum. Mishnah. Enav gidolot kishel egel, if his eyes are big like that of a calf, or tanot kishel avaz, or they're small like a goose, gufo gadome verav, he's disproportionate, his trunk or his body is greater than his limbs, o katame verav, or the other way around, his limbs are bigger in proportion to his body, so this is a disproportion somehow between his extremities and the core body. Chotmo gadol me'evirav, if his nose is bigger than his other extremities, o katan me'evirav, or smaller than his other extremities. Hatzomeim ve'atzomeya, Girsa changes hatzamam ve'atzomeya. Ezu tzomeya, ko she'oznov katanot. Tzomeya is, if his ears are very small, hatzomeim, ko she'oznov domot lispog, that his ears are like a sponge, that they're closed up and they look like a sponge. Svato ha'elyona udefet al-tachtona, if his upper lip extends over the bottom lip, or the tachtona udefet al-yona, or the bottom lip extends over the upper lip, they don't meet together, is a mum, that's a mum. Shenishru shinav pasul mipnei haaretz ayin. So the same way nishru viseinav in the previous mishnah was maratayin, over here, him not having teeth is a problem of maratayin. Amarav, Moshe Rabbeinu esar amotaya. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amot tall, shenemar, v'yifroset oel ala mishkan, that he placed the oel on top of the mishkan. The mishkan is the krashim, the boards that go around. The oel are the curtains that they placed on top, that were on top of it. Mi perso, who spread it out? Moshe Rabbeinu perso. He was the one who spread it out on top of the mishkan, oktiv. And we know how tall were the krashim, the boards that went around? Eser amot, orach ha-koresh. Each keresh was 10 amot high. So if Moshe was the one who spread it out, he had to be able to reach above those krashim. He has to be 10 amot tall. Amar Rav Simi bar Chiya the Rav, im kein asid Moshe Rabbeinu baal mum. Made Moshe Rabbeinu into a baal mum. Because the proportions that are normal, and Rashi points is that, is that a person's body usually is shlosh amot. 3 amot in his own amot. So from elbow to the end of his middle finger, which is an amah, on a relative basis, a subjective basis, that amah, if you took 3 of those, that should be the size of your body. So now we're suggesting over here that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amot, 10 of his own amot. That means 10 of his arm lengths that he was tall, that was the size of his body. If that's the case, he's a balmum, because then the proportions are off. That means his body is much bigger than his extremities, which is when the mumim. Normally a person has three amot of his own, constitute his body's height. So over here, Moshe, it's 10 of his own amot, constitute his body height, then it's disproportionate. The answer is going to be the opposite of what she said, which is, Tetnan, Gufo Gadome Rabba Kutame Rabba Mlai, Simi, Ba Mashal Kerish Kamar. I didn't mean 10 amot of Moshe's amot, I mean 10 amot of the amot used for the boards in the Mishkan. The boards in the Mishkan were measured by amot, but they were measured by standardized amot, not the amot of Moshe. So true, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was 3 amot of his own amot. But Moshe Rabbeinu's amot were significantly bigger than a standard amot. So the end it is that it's 3 of Moshe's own amot, but it's standardized amot of the Keresh, which are 10 amot, were equal to the 3 amot of Moshe. The problem with that is that earlier in the Masechta and Daf Mem, we had the Mishnah that we brought that says that there was an Amah by Shushan Abira, which is the Amah of Moshe. So that was how they measured the Amot in the Mikdash. It was based on that standardized Amot of Moshe. So Rashi says it was Lav Davka Shal Moshe. Moshe doesn't mean that it was literally Moshe's Amah. It means the Amah from the time of Moshe. It was the one, the standardized Amah from that time, and not literally Moshe's own Amah. Chutmo Gadol, how big does the nose have to be in order to be classified as big? Tana Ke'ezva Ketana. Has to be a pinky's width greater. I mean that in proportion to the other extremities, if the nose extends a pinky's width more outward, then it's too large. I mean that's bigger than what it should be. If you took someone else's own size and his own height, and then the standard nose that you would have there, if his extends a pinky's width further, then that's too big. Hatzumei vetzumeiach. Tam tana af hatzimeach. We had in our Mishnah the Tzumeim and the Tzumeach. Now they're adding on the Tzumeach or the Tzimeach. Lovi had the Rabban and my Tzimeach. In fact, they added from a Braita, they didn't know what this Tzimeach was. Shemolo ha'utayo, they heard a merchant selling, Dabakamar, man to buy Tzimeach, anybody who wants to buy Tzimeach, come here. So they went to see what he was selling. Bishtechach, gadyo chazizo. They saw a goat or a kid that had very long ears. We saw before that the Tzomeim and Tzomeir were mumim in the ears. One was very small ears, the other one was sponge-like ears, closed-up ears. This is ears that are too long. That's what Tzimeach would be, or Tzomeach would be. Amrav Chista, Eiz, Shein Lakarnayim. You have a goat that does not have horns. Virachel, or you, Sheish Lakarnayim. Ksherim, Lagabi Mizbeach. That's not considered to be a mum, even though that's not normal. Nevertheless, that's not considered to be a mum, and you can even place them on the mizbech. They're considered to be tamim. Tanya nami hochi, we have a bright that supports that. Yesh dvarim shehen kim mumim. There's certain things that look like mumim, veinam mumim. And they're really not mumim. Shochatim aleim b'migdash, and you can shech on them in the migdash, meaning that they're kosher as korbanot in the migdash. Volovim bedina, but they're not mumim to make it into something that is either niftet or a bechor balmum. Veduhein, what's that list? Eishen lo karnaim, verachel sheish lo karnaim. A goat that does not have horns, or a ewe that does have horns. And even though that's not the normal course of nature, nevertheless, they're not considered to be mumim. Hatzimeach, vatzimeim, vetzumeach. And included in that list are the tzimeach, tzimeim, and tzumeach. Those three items are not considered to be mumim. Now, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah just said that these three are classified as. We had two in our Mishnah, one in the Braita. And now over here, we have a Braita that's saying that they're not mumim. So Rashi says, Matina techashivlu be'adam mumim kamar. Our Mishnah is listed there by human beings. So by human beings, these are mumim. This braita is talking about animals, because we're talking about karbanot. In animals, these three items are not considered to be mumim. So that's how to differentiate between our Mishnah, the closest to mumim, talking about human beings. This braita that says they're not mumim is speaking about a case of an animal where they are not considered mumim. Amar Rav Chisda Mamemar, Natlu Karnuta Vizichrutan. If the horns were removed, but not only the outer bone of the horns, but the inner bone, the actual bone that is attached to the head, then it's psula, then it's problematic. It's a psul from the mizbeach. It's not tamim to go on the mizbeach anymore, but it's not enough to redeem them. If their hooves are taken off, and the core in them, which means that the hoof plus the bone, Rashi calls it kapot, a glav, his feet, basically they took off the feet, not just the hooves, but the whole foot's taken off. Psulim v'niftim aleim. Not only the psul, but that's good enough to ruin it from the mizbeach and niftim aleim. It's a good enough mum to be podedim. We have a bright that says, Natu karnaim v'talfaim v'zichrutani mehem. Take off the horns and the hooves with the bone in them, maybe the underlying bone with them. Psulim v'nifdin aleim. So that's obviously a problem for Rav Chisda Mar Meimar, who said that's only true by the hoof, not true by the horns. Slokasha, hadit akarit akure, had igum igume. Depends how you took off the bone. If you uproot the bone, you uproot the bone entirely, then it's not only not tamim and it can't go on the mizbeach, it's also a mum that you can be put on it. And then if you slice it down, you slice down the bone, you cut down the bone to the head, but not, you don't take it out, uproot it entirely, then it's pasul mi'al gabi mizbeach. The igume is pasul from mizbeach, but not enough to redeem it. Fir minu. Is that really true? Para shekarnea v'talfea shchorim. Para duma, whose hooves or horns are black, which would ruin it from being a para duma, you go, you cut it down. So if that's the case, if it makes it pasul and it's no good anymore, then you would ruin the para duma. So I can say yigum. Targuma ziri mi lui zichrut. They cut off the horns or the hooves above the point of the underlying bone. Now we know, as Rashi points out, that there's two or three etzba'ot at the top of the horns, where they're hollow. They don't have the bone insert on the inside of them. And there, if you cut that piece off, that's fine. Because then you're not affecting the zichut. If you get below that and you cut into the actual underlying bone, then it's pasul. And if you uproot the bone entirely, then it's not only pasul, but it is also good enough to redeem it. Okay, next Mishnah. The din shochvim kishalisha. He has a chest or breasts that are so big that they hang over like a woman's breasts. Kresot tzava. He has a huge belly. Chiboro yotze. His belly button is extending outward. Nichpeh, he faints a lot, epilepsy. Afilu achat yamim, even occasionally. It's also a mum. Ruach kitzara. Shortness of breath, ba'a alav, comes on to him. Rashi says, and we're going to see this in the Gemara, is ruach shade. This is caused by some sort of shade. Otherwise, you would have to translate it as something like asthma or something like that. Ha'me'ujban u'balgever. Someone who has very large testicles or a large membrane, those are also problematic. The Gemara will discuss that at the bottom of the Amud. Am Rabbi Abba, Braid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Mashtinin mayim bifnei rabim. One is allowed to urinate in public. Vein shotim mayim bifnei rabim. One may not drink in public. Rashi says that the derech of a Talmid Chacham is to be tzanua. Therefore, he does not need to drink in public. But he is allowed to urinate in public because of the dangers presented by that. We're going to see in a second why. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, reads it. It says that even a Talmid Chacham who is tzanua, not to eat and drink in public, can still urinate in public. V'tani nami ochi, we have a braita that supports this. Mashtini mayim bifnei rabim. You're allowed to urinate in public. Vein shotim mayim bifnei rabim. You can't drink in public. Someone wanted to urinate, v'lo ishtin. He was wanting to be tzanu, he didn't want to urinate in public. Nimtza kerisut tzava. And therefore his belly expanded, and I don't know if it ruptured or opened up. It was something that caused tremendous amount of difficulty medically to him because he had held in his urination. Shmuel, it's richle b'shabda deriglo. Shmuel was giving the shear on the Shabbos before the regel, where they go over all the lachot. Nagdule glima, he had to urinate, so they put up a curtain, and he urinated there on the spot. Ata the kameh davua, he went and told the story to his father. I'll give you 400 zuz, v'zila hader uvda. Go back and retract what you did. Go and give a shear that what you did was wrong. You have that possibility. You're a Talmid Chacham, you're a big guy, you can have someone put up a curtain for you and you can urinate. What happens if someone doesn't have that opportunity? Should they just not urinate? Or should they urinate in public? The stocking, and he says, if you do hold it in, you'll be in danger. So we don't want you to do that. You did something wrong because you're going to cause other people to feel that they have to wait till they're in a place that's tzanua.
You mean his father said he should have urinated just without the curtain?
Or done it with the curtain and then explained that it was only because he could do that. But if he couldn't have done that, he should have just urinated in public. My brother Ravashi, it's trich. Aguda Gamla, he needed to urinate while he was on the banks of the Gamla, or he was crossing a bridge. Ishtin. And so therefore he urinated on the spot. Amalei, chamateich, katya. Your mother-in-law is on her way. Amaleho, he said, no, but udna, I would have been urinated in her ear. I mean, obviously that's not literally, but even if she was here, I would have urinated because it's a danger. And in the makum sakana, tzniut is not an issue. And this Gemara is also paralleled in other places that the Gemara felt very strongly about this fact that the withholding of urination was extremely dangerous, and because of that danger, they permitted it even in public situations.
You have to do it as much as you can.
You don't have to try to make it public. You do it in the most tenuous manner.
Then Rabbi Shmuel.
Oh, I mean, putting up the curtain, he did right, but his father was afraid people would learn from him that you'd have to wait till they could get to a place which was not in a public forum, and that would have been the mistake that they would have come to. I mean, they don't have a curtain, so they wait till they get home, and that would have caused them that danger. But typically, let's say that the problem with the expansion of the stomach is, Mishum Alka, That it was a problem that he swallowed a leech. And that's what's causing his belly to expand. So the Gemara says, no, b'shotet. That we see afterwards that when he tries to urinate, he no longer has a stream that comes out, but it just drips out. So we know that that's what caused the problem over here, and it wasn't because he swallowed the leech. Tana banan. Shnei nekavim yesh bo ba'adam. Person has two orifices. Echad motzi shten. One of them releases the urine. Ve'echad motzi shefazer. The other one, the semen. Ve'in beze leze ele kuklat ha'shum. There's only a thin layer between them. Like a kiblat ha'shum. Narrowness of a leaf of garlic. V'sha sh'adam nitzrach. Person who has to urinate, im nikvu zuluzu nimsakar. The person who has to urinate to go to the bathroom, and he withholds it and causes some sort of rupture in that thin leaf, that'll cause him to become impotent. Samar Yishlokish, Maidichtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk, lo yekiveh becha akar vakara ubebem techa? The bracha that amongst you, if you keep the word of Hashem, that there'll be no impotent people, there'll be no barren women. Same thing with your animals. The Gidash is the puzzle. Ematai lo yibecha kar. When will you not have people who become impotent? Bizman shibibem techa. When you act like an animal. Acting like an animal here means that you urinate. You don't hold back from urinating. You urinate like the animal does without waiting. So that's the way he interprets the puzzle. Come Rishu ben Levi. Rishu ben Levi gives a slightly alternative reading. Lo yibecha kar. That you won't have be barren, meaning you won't lose mina talmidim. You will always have talmidim. Akara shlotei tefilatcha akura lifnei makom. That your tefillah will not be for naught before Hashem. Rashi relates it to the topic here and says kishemit palel al banim. When you daven for children, your tefillah won't be rejected. So Rashi keeps it contextually in this way. Tosafot says over here means the whole tefillah kamar, things like any tefillah. Now then it says afterwards, who is this true about? When you make yourself like an animal. Now Rashi again here, Rashi says because he didn't withhold urinating. Which doesn't seem to be the pashtut here. Kibeima is more, I think more like what Tos would say over here. Beima is mishimetzim atzmoke mishaino. Make yourself like an animal means that you don't hold yourself in a position of chashivut. You don't consider yourself to be important. And that's why, kibeima, that you're like an animal. And therefore, if you're like an animal, the talmidim will rush to you and your tefillot will be heard. A person should not urinate into a urinal or into a makom kasher, a hard ground. Both of these because they get dumped into the rivers. Because supposedly if the rivers in Bavel flow into the waters of Einetam, Einetam is the spring that is used for the waters in the Mikdash. Kohen Gadol used that to go to the mikveh on Yom HaKippurim. So in order not to pollute the waters that are coming into the Beit HaMikdash, they don't want them pouring this urine or having the urine flow into the rivers of Bavel. But Tosafot Rashi discussed the fact that these waters are the waters of the Prat that feeds water to many places in the world. And there comes an 8-day tam. Toto says this is Hana Chumra Davka Bavel. This Chumra is only in Bavel because of that effect of the Nar Prat towards Ein Eitam. This is not true of anywhere else besides in Bavel and by the Nar Prat. Amrabai, Hayitata, Lotukum Lehejia Banpe Yenoka. A woman, if she has to urinate, should not urinate in front of a young child, directly facing him. Agisa Leit Lambai, if it's on the side, it's okay. So even though the young child cannot see her erva when she urinates, nevertheless, it's just not appropriate that a young child should be standing in front of her. The young child should be over to the side. Tani, Rabbi Shimon Gomel Omer, Amudo Chuzer, Mevi Adam Lidei Hajrokun. So over here, the Gemara is again discussing the problems with withholding urination, the difficulties that it can cause, which is amud. If one had to defecate and they did not defecate, then they get hadrokun, which is some of holy me'ayim, is some sort of stomach ailment. Silon is dealing with urination. Achuzer, if a person withholds urinating and it runs back up into the body, it causes maybe a dam lirakon. Causes a person is they called yirakon, seems some sort of jaundice discoloration of the body. Amarav Ravun, Amarav, Katina, Amaresh Lakish. So he gives a list of these items. Dam Rabbah, person does not bloodlet and allows his blood to get too much or too high a level of blood. Shkin Rabbah, causes him some sort of skin ailment. Shikh Vadzer Rabbah, someone who has a wife and does not procreate with her. Tzarat Rabbah, that causes them leprosy or nigayim. So Arabah, person who withholds defecating, Hadroken Rabbah, then he causes himself this stomach ailment. Mergaraim Rabbi, and a person who should urinate and withholds from urinating, Yirakon Rabbah, causes himself this problem of Yirakon. Ruach Tzarid Balab, we saw this in our Mishnah, this was a shortness of breath. Mainihu, what is that? Tana, Ruach. Actually, in our Gemara here, we're missing a word, which is Yud Aleph in the Shita Mekubetzet, who says, Mainiu Nala. And what is the Nala? Tana Ruach ben Nefilim Ba'alav. It's the Ruach of some sort of shade that comes upon him that causes him to have this shortness of breath. So it's not necessarily what we would call asthmatic, a shortness of breath caused by some natural phenomenon, but it seems to be something that's caused by an external force. A shade causes him to be short of breath. Said in the Mishnah, someone has very large testicles or large membrane is problematic. Tan mushuban bebeitzim. The mushuban is referring to the testicles. Balgever begid is talking about the membrane. Tana mishubam zakayin. That's referring to the kayin. Hagarvatan balgever is balkik. So now kayin bebeitzim, garvata begid. So these are just other words for the same item. Ved kamel, how big or how large does it have to be problematic? Bechaver of Yehuda, adrakuva, has to be down to the knees. In terms of the gid being too big, it has to reach down to the knees in order to be a mum of sorts. Tanya of Lezomer, adrakuva pasul, lamala min rakuva kasher. Down to the knee is pasul, above the knee is okay. Ikadamri adrakuva kasher, that even to the knee is kasher, the matam min rakuva below the knee is pasul. So that's the size that it's giving us in terms of the bal gever. Okay, Mishnah. Ein lo beitzim, if he doesn't have testicles, ein lo elo beitzachat, only has one testicle. Zeh meruach hashech amur b'Torah. This is the mum, meruach hashech, that's mentioned in the Torah. Shmuel Omer, kol, shenimochu, or the other gersa, shenimruchu ashkav, means that if his testicles were crushed, that's what meruach hashech is. Kiva Omer, kol shiruach b'shkav. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's when his testicles are very large, they're expanded, they're swollen. K'nei ben Antigonus, Omer, kol shemarav chashuchim. It's not even nothing to do with testicles. It's someone who has a dark complexion. So Kashalei the Rabbi Shmuel. Why didn't Rabbi Shmuel accept the position of the Tanakama? Because the way the Tanakama reads it, it's Shemiruach HaSheikh, which has beaten, it doesn't have testicles, you're missing one testicle, it should have written Chaser HaSheikh. Why does it say Miruach HaSheikh? So it should have said Chaser HaSheikh Mibailei. Tane Shenimruchu Eshkav. So he says the Miruach is the crushing from the word Miruach. So Kashule the Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't accept the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel because it should have said, "Hi, mimiruach ashech mi bayle." If it was talking about miruach, mimiruach, it shouldn't have said ruach, which is air or wind. It should have said mimiruach, which means crushed. So Tanisha ruach beshkav. So therefore, he talked about swollenness. Kashule Rabbi Akiva ben Antigonus. Rabbi Antigonus didn't accept the explanation of Rabbi Akiva because "Hi, ruach ashech mi bayle." It should have just said ruach ashech according to Rabbi Akiva. So what does miruach ashech mean? That it's dark complexion. That we take one letter from one place and we add it on to the other place. So that mem of memruach is not part of the word. So we take that mem over and the aleph from a sheikh and we put the chet in place of the aleph and the aleph in place of the chet and then you would end up with it being miro'o choshech. That his appearance is dark. So if you switch around that Aleph of the Asheikh and the Chet of the Ruach, that drasha will give you that it's Miro'o Choshech, that is dark complexion. Hainu Kushi. That's the same as a Kushi, which is a Mum that's going to be mentioned in the Mishnayot later on. So why do I need it two times? Why do I need the Kushi and also Miro'o Choshech? Chim Antigonus, Lotani Kushi. Exactly. Rabbi Chaim Antigonus in the Mishnayot coming up doesn't have Kushi mentioned as a Mum because it's already mentioned in this Mishnah based on the Mum of Miruach Asheikh. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue with Mishnah tomorrow.